What I want to do is to try to let you in on what I do, because it's God's perfect will that all of us, every one of us, walk in perfect health every minute of every day. Have any of you ever bought a new car? Okay, you got a new car. What do you get with the new car? You get a warranty. Yes. Okay, suppose you go to the car dealer and you find this car, you really, really like it. And so you make your best deal with the boss, and the boss says, I want to take your money. It'll look good on our sales report. The car's nice, you'll like it, but I don't ever want to see you again. So you don't mind if I sell you the car without the warranty, right? You'd probably just take your business elsewhere. I would. Why? If I'm going to spend my money, I want a new car and I want a warranty. Well, I want to show you what your warranty is. Let's turn to Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Not will be, not hope to be. We are healed. Now, when I saw this, along with some other verses, like Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3, were the very first verses that I ever saw the minute after I got saved in July of 93. I just flopped my Bible open, as was my method of Bible study back in those days. And it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And I says, Lord, I just gave you my heart. Does that mean you're going to heal me? And the Lord says, Jerry, I've already healed you. I said, Lord, you could have fooled me. I was sick. I was hurting. I was in a lot of pain. But over a period of about 2 to 3 weeks, the melanomas went away. Well, the symptoms of the liver cancer didn't go away for a while. And the devil would try to work on me and convince me that I really wasn't healed. And at the beginning, when I was diagnosed with cancer, my normal body weight was about 125 pounds. And I've always been a huge man all my life. But over a period of 8 or 9 months, I got down to 86 pounds. I had been a civilian employee at the Missouri State Highway Patrol for 21 and a half years. And when they told me I was going to be dead in a month, I resigned my patrol job and I went home to die. And I had a furniture repair business that I did on the side, and so I would drag my toolbox into somebody's house, and they'd say, what's the matter with you? And I says, well, I had 5 melanomas and liver cancer, but I'm healed. And they say, well, you don't look healed. And I'd say, well, I don't feel healed. But I'd pull out my little pocket Bible that I carry with me every place, and I'd open it up, and I'd say, but here's what the Word of God says. Well, you don't look healed. Well, this is what God's Word says. And many of them would say, well, you know, I've got this going on, and I've got this sickness, and I've got this disease, and do you think God would heal me? And I says, absolutely. And I'd pray for him, and he'd heal him. You see, why am I so sure that God's the healer? Well, I've got this Bible here, and we all say that this is the Word of God. You know, Pastor Larry always says, you know, I believe this is the Word of God. And he'd say, it's impossible for God to lie. Okay, if it's impossible for God to lie, and he says we're healed, hey, that's good enough for me. But see, so many times we look at our body, we look at the doctor's report, we look at the circumstance, and we throw our healing right out the window. Now, I always like to use something out of the New Testament, so we go over here to 1 Peter 2:24. And basically it says the same thing again, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Okay? Isaiah said, we are healed. Peter says, we were healed. I think that pretty much covers it. Well, let's go over here to Luke 4:18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. I'm here to tell you, there's good news here tonight. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now let me ask you something. Did Jesus get his job done? He did. Okay, are we sure of that? How many people are sure of it tonight? I see a few that aren't sure. Good. I've got a job to do tonight. Before you leave here tonight, you'll be sure. I'm going to see to that. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'd like to go down to verse 12. It says in here, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." A lot of people that I have talked to through the years say, well, I have this sickness in my body because, see, the Word of God says those that love the Lord will suffer persecution. I hope I don't upset anybody's apple cart tonight, but let me tell you something. Sickness is not a persecution. Sickness is a curse. Okay? Jesus did His job. We all just said that. He redeemed us from the curse. Therefore, if you have sickness in your body, the curse is operating in you. And if the curse is operating in you, then for you, Jesus did not do His job. Or did He? Jesus did His job. But you see, it says, "Be it unto you according to your faith." So, therefore, I would have to say, okay, then we got to bring faith into this thing. This is why I am alive right now. It's because of faith. Not because I'm some righteous man and I'm just so holy that God's just got to keep me healed. No, all I did was just something real simple a two-year-old could do. I took God at His Word. And all hell tried to come against me to turn loose of that Word, but I wasn't turning loose of it. You know, I had a warranty. I just got born again. I was a brand new car. Now, those of you who have bought a brand new car, you know the dealer's not going to call you every day and ask you if something's wrong with your car. But rather, if something goes wrong with your car, then you call the dealer and says, "I got a warranty." So what they say, bring it in. I'll fix it, right? When you got something going on in your body that's not right, you got a warranty right here. You pick this thing up and say, "God, I need to make a claim on my warranty." That's what it's there for. Don't expect God to come hunting you down to see if you're sick. You know, the Lord told me something one time. It really shocked me into some reality here. I was just praising God, and all of a sudden, the Lord told me, He says, "Jerry," He says, "no thief will be in heaven." You know, and I thought, what's this got to do with anything? And I said, "Yes, Lord, I know that." And He said to me, "I took all your sickness and all your diseases upon myself." I said, "Yes, Lord, I know that." Where are we going with this, Lord? You know, when God asks you a question, He always has the answer. And most of the time when He asks you a question, you don't know the answer. So anyway, He told me this. He says, "I bore all your sicknesses, all your diseases in my own body. Therefore, you don't have any." I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm still struggling with this symptoms of this liver cancer in my body. What's going on here?" He says, "You have symptoms, not sickness." I said, "Okay, Lord, explain. What's the difference between symptoms and sickness?" "Well, let me explain symptoms. Suppose you're driving down the road and your car all of a sudden starts going." And they think, "Uh-oh, what's that?" So you head for the nearest mechanic and you have the mechanic come out and listen to your car, and you start it up and it goes. And he says, "That sounds pretty bad." And I said, "Well, what's that mean?" He said, "Well, it sounds like you got a rod knocking." I said, "Ooh, is that serious?" He says, "About $5,000 serious. I can put a new engine in it for about $5,000. I think, "Oh, I can't afford that, but I've got to have my car. What do I do?" Well, I go borrow the money or whatever I got to do to get the money, and then I go back and I tell him put a motor in my car. Well, he's crawling around under the car, unloosening all the bolts off of the car, and all of a sudden he sees the exhaust pipe just kind of hanging loose, and so he says, "I wonder about something." He gets in the car and starts it, and okay, crawls back under the car, tightens the exhaust pipe up, starts the car again, and guess what? No sound. Do you think that man is going to call you back up and say, "Hey, you just had a loose exhaust pipe"? Chances are he's not. You just agreed to a motor, my friend, and you bought it. Well, if the devil can get you to agree to a symptom, my friend, you bought it. You might be out jogging, you'll say, and all of a sudden a pain hits you in your chest. "Ooh, a heart attack!" No, devil, that ain't a heart attack. My heart's in perfect shape. Well, maybe you're getting kind of short of breath. Maybe it's lung cancer. No, that ain't lung cancer. There's nothing wrong with my lungs. Well, maybe it's angina. Well, maybe it's angina. guess what? You bought it. You bought it. Well, anyway, the Lord was telling me about symptoms and sickness. He says, if you had any sickness in your body, it would have to be stolen, because the devil is the author of everything stolen. And if you have sickness in your body, then that means Jesus didn't take your sickness. Well, we're getting kind of heavy with this here, okay? He says, now, if I'm saying Jesus didn't take your sickness, then I got to back up a little farther back behind you. Are you really saved? Because if you have sickness in your body, you are not delivered from the curse. If you're not delivered from the curse, you're still in your sins. If you're still in your sins, you're not saved. So therefore, you have to back up and turn the clock back and go back here and reestablish this. Am I really saved? Have I really given my heart to Jesus Christ and asked Him to be my Lord and Savior? If you can honestly say, yes, that is done, then the issue is also behind you about sickness. That means your sicknesses have been taken from you, and what you're dealing with is symptoms. And like I just said, symptoms and sickness are two entirely different things. But the devil will do everything he can to make you believe sickness is still upon you. He's a liar. Okay? I want to turn over to John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now we hear all these people just blatantly just throwing this, well, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Or some of them just say, well, the truth will set you free. No, Jesus says, if you abide, if you continue in my words, then you are my disciples. But if you just try to use just a little hit and miss, oh, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus every now and then when the devil hits you, it's not going to do you much good. In fact, the Lord told me one time, He says, if you're not walking in love, if you're not walking in forgiveness, I don't care how many times you say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, you're just wasting your breath. There are some other issues that we have to get out of the way. You know, if we got unforgiveness in our life, well, we got to go to the Lord's Prayer with that, don't we? You know, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So what's that mean? If I don't forgive, the next verse says, if you don't forgive, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you your sins. So if you're not forgiven your sins, guess what? It's go straight to hell, do not pass go, do not collect $200, okay? It's like the old Monopoly game, go straight to jail, you know? So therefore, we got to look at the forgiveness thing. But if you've done that, if you've covered your bases, you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you have frankly forgiven everybody that's ever sinned against you, then if you have what you think is sickness in your body, I'm telling you, it's not sickness. It's a symptom. It's a lie. It's a shadow. Psalm 23, I believe verse 6 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And the Lord asked me one time, He says, Jerry, have you ever been bitten by the shadow of a dog? I've been bitten by a dog, but I've never been bitten by the shadow of a dog. You see, a shadow can't hurt you. Symptoms can't hurt you. Disease can kill you. But Jesus took your diseases. So what's God's intent? Well, that you die of old age, healthy. Just lay down, go to sleep, and go home and be with Jesus. There are just so many people that have just been hoodwinked into thinking they got to put up with sickness and disease, or it honors God if we suffer sickness. It doesn't honor God if you suffer sickness in your body. How many of your parents here tonight? Okay, if you send your little Johnny to school and he is all snot-nosed and hair's messed up and dirty clothes and rotten mouth and won't obey the teachers, they're going to say, what kind of parents does that kid have? But if you send Johnny to school well-dressed, polite, yes ma'am, no ma'am, all cleaned up, hair combed, obeys the teacher, they're going to say, that's a good reflection on his parents. I'll tell you what, do you think your Father in heaven wants a reflection of his kids being sick, beat down, poor, neglected? No. My Father in heaven is a good Father, and He doesn't want me sick, so therefore I'm not sick. I love that song we just did a while ago about amazing love. I know it's true. Oh man, I know it's true. I know. Just like I know that I know that I know I'm saved. I know that I know that I know that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. The devil tries to hit me with symptoms, it'll roll off me like Teflon. Why? I'm not going to put up with it. I recognize the liar when I see him. Let's go over to Mark 1, verse 40. There's a story in here about a leper. And it says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said to him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now, there's two things that went on here. First of all, the man knew Jesus could heal him. But he did not know that Jesus would heal him. And there's many of you here that either have or have had sicknesses and know beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus can heal you. But you're still looking to the future. Oh, I believe God will heal me. Or I wish that God would heal me. You need to turn around and look back here behind you. You see, the word repent means to turn, to change direction. Sometimes we've got some repentance to do. You know, we're looking to the future for our healing. And God says, turn around, repent. It's behind you. It's already done. We're trying our best to get God to do something He already said yes to 2,000 years ago. Actually, way before that. Because it says that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever was, Jesus already took your sins. It was already in His heart to do it. Already in His heart to heal you. And 2,000 years ago was the manifestation of it. So why are you looking out here ahead of you to get healed when it's already back here? You know, it's like if you're out in your yard trying to look for your wallet that you lost and you're looking ahead of you, you know, and maybe it's behind you. You're not going to find it until you turn around and go behind. You're not going to find your healing until you turn around, until you turn the clock back. To it will be done to it was done. Now this leper here said he kneeled down to Jesus, and Jesus, as always, was moved with compassion. There is one thing that I can always count on, and that is the compassion of God. There's one thing I know is always going to be true, that when I go to God, He's going to have mercy on me, even if I mess up. And I've done that a few times. You can ask my wife. No, don't ask my wife. He is merciful. That is the nature of God. He doesn't know how to be anything but merciful. Well, anyway, when he said to the leper, he says, I will, be thou clean. His I will canceled the if. Your if tonight is hereby canceled with the I will of Jesus. Quit looking to some point in the future. He said, I will, 2,000 years ago. Way back there. Let's go over to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I want to talk about this one about Jesus calming a storm. He says, and the same day when the evening was come, and he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was on the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, I'll tell you what manner of man he was. He was a man of compassion. He could have just let this guy's perish, but he was moved with compassion. I noticed in there, he said, in verse 40, he says, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? We look at God and we're expecting God to do everything for us. And God gave us faith. In fact, you know, in Mark 11:23, let's turn over there. I'm going to take a little side trip over here. Mark 11:23, 24, 22. And Jesus answering saith to them, have faith in God. In the Greek, it actually says have the faith of God. There's a difference between having faith in God and having faith of God. It's like having money in the bank or having the money of the bank. Which would you rather have? I'd rather have the money of the bank. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you that what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Oh, we got to put this on there. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. See, verses 23 and 24 will not work without 25 and 26. So we're saying, okay, I can speak to this mountain of symptoms in my body, and it's going to move. That's what it says. Why do we have to make all these formulas about, well, what if? I don't see what if in there. Jesus gave us the key to the universe there. What you say, believe in your heart and doubt not. Whatsoever you say, and you sneeze, and you think, I think I'm taking the flu. Well, you just said it. And then you get on the phone and you call about 10 people. Well, I got the sniffle today and I think I'm taking the flu. You took it. You said it in your mouth. You believed it in your heart. You bought it. Why not, if you get a symptom attack your body, say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I didn't say it if it feels like it. I didn't say to say it if it was convenient. Say it because God's word is truth. Okay? The fact was, 1993, I was dying. The truth was, I was healed 2,000 years ago. I had to do a little work to convince my body that it was a done deal, that I was healed. My body was doing everything it could do to die. God did everything he needed to do to heal me. So which way did I want it? I wanted it like God said. I wanted my healing. So I spoke it. I didn't always feel like it. I couldn't always see the result of it. But sooner or later, the truth changes the facts. Now, one of the reasons you got to say it is to get it in your ears, in your heart, and it gets in your heart and it just explodes. And you get the revelation, hey, I really am well. I really am healthy. I really am healed. And that's what happened to me in 1993. I mean, healing got a hold of me. I thought I got a hold of healing. No, healing got a hold of me. God's word got a hold of me. And it changed the facts in my body. I've been coming to this church for maybe around 9 years now. No one here has ever seen me sick. You know why? Because I've never been sick. I don't get sick. I pray for people that have all kinds of diseases. I've been to Africa twice praying for people that had diseases that would kill you in a New York minute. Yeah, I didn't get sick. They got well. Why? Well, because God's word works. And it'll work any time that you will use it. But if you don't use it, it's still in here. But if it's not mixed with faith, it'll do you no good. Let's go over to Luke 10:19. I love this verse. Jesus says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Let me give you some light on this verse. You notice that the word power appears twice, but in the Greek it's two different words. This is how it is. Behold, I give unto you power. That is the Greek word exousia. And it basically, in a nutshell, means executive power, command power, absolutely prohibits the presence of a hindrance. I love that. The authority, the right and might, and the power to do, that's what Jesus gives you as a child of God. Behold, I give unto you exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, and that word power is dunamis, from which we derive the word dynamite. Dunamis power even includes signs and wonders and miracles, terrifying works. Don't you know the devil can do signs and wonders and miracles? I'm here to tell you he can. The Lord took me back into Exodus, and he was showing me, he says, when Aaron and Moses went into Pharaoh, Aaron threw down his staff, and it became a serpent. And the Lord says, that is a demonstration of exousia. Well, the sorcerers and magicians said, oh, we can do that. Threw down their staffs, and they became serpents also. And he said, that's dunamis. But what happened? Aaron's serpent ate theirs. So what am I telling you here? The exousia that Jesus gave you trumps dunamis. The devil tries to put his junk on you, trump him. You can do it. Jesus gave you that power. He expects us to use that power. You know, we pray and we try to talk God into giving us this power. He's already done it. You see, we're trying to get God, we're looking ahead to try to get God to do something he did in the past. So I say you got to turn the clock back sometimes. You got to look behind you. He gave you that power. And you're letting the devil walk all over you? Hey, I'm not going to. If you want to let the devil make you sick, you know, I can't do anything about that. But he ain't coming to my house and making me sick. My wife doesn't even get sick anymore. I got so much healing in me, it rubs off on her. I got so much healing in me that sickness just can't stand around me. That's the goodness of God. Not bragging on me, I'm bragging on my Father in heaven. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. I think I'd like to start in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Man, we've been hearing the Word of God preached in this church here by our pastor for years and years and years. Why are there still sick people around here sometimes? Well, it's because we have let them slip. We have let the Word of God slip. It's not that the Word of God is of none effect. It's that we let it slip. We need to constantly remind ourselves every day that we're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now, if a day or two goes by that I don't say I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, it's probably pretty rare. But I know it. He knows it. The devil knows it. I don't have to try to twist God's arm into healing me. I'm not trying to talk God into doing anything to make me in perfect health. He did it way back there. All I'm doing is reminding myself my covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. We say a lot of times, well, we remind God of His promises. Well, that's fine. God hasn't forgot His promises. 90% of the time when there's a problem, it's because we forgot the promises. And I've forgot promises sometimes. I don't have everything down pat in the Word of God yet, but I got healing down real good. I got it down so good, I don't care how many sick people I get around, I'm just not going to get sick. Sickness is no more in my vocabulary. I'm not going to have another sick day the rest of my life. I don't have to have. That's part of my warranty. That's part of your warranty. Wouldn't you like today to start living in that warranty? I've told people before, well, if you believe, you'll never have another sick day in your life. And they say, well, you know, people get sick all the time, Jerry. That's just the facts of life. Well, yeah, it may be the fact of life, but that's not the truth of life. That's not the truth. I'm going for the truth. Nothing but the truth. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your word. Let's go back in, right back here where we were, Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to go verse 2 now. I want to read on a little farther here. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Well, it talks about here every transgression and every disobedience having a just recompense or reward. What's it talking about there? Well, if you don't lay hold of your covenant of healing, guess what? You're going to suffer symptoms. You're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to lay around sick when you didn't have to. You're going to lay around broke when you didn't have to. You're going to be worrying about what's going on tomorrow at work. You didn't have to. You see, we have a covenant. We got to lay hold on this thing. You got to be like a pit bull on a mailman's leg and just not let go. This blessing's not just going to fall on you. You got to pursue them. You got to lay hold of them. How shall we escape if we neglect that? We won't. You got something going on in your body that shouldn't be going on. You've let the Word of God slip. Because God's Word will always work 100% of the time, not 99.9. I remember I used to see these old Ivory soap commercials, and it says 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent pure. Okay? The Word of God is not 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent pure. It is 100% pure. And it will work 100% of the time, thank you. Not 99, 44 one-hundredths. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if... And I circled that thing so many times here that I've almost got it unreadable in my Bible. But if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I found something that was kind of neat, quite by accident one time. But I was reading that verse, and so I wanted to really find out what that word confidence meant. And it's a Greek word, 5287, hypostasis. And I also found that that word is also in Hebrews 1, verse 3. And it says, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. So who's our confidence in? The person of Jesus. Well, and also 2 Corinthians 9:4. Also uses the same word. I'm skipping around here a little bit tonight because I feel like the Lord just really wanting to open some things to your heart here. That says, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, that we say not ye, should be ashamed of this same confident boasting. Now, if you go into Hebrews 11:1, of course, that's our favorite verse, isn't it? Now faith is the substance... Hypostasis, confidence, person, substance. That confidence we have in Jesus Christ, He is the substance. Our healing is the substance of the confidence. It's like an equation. Anybody take algebra here? You know, faith equals substance. Faith equals confidence. Faith equals person of Jesus Christ. When we put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, who cannot lie, and we say that all the time, we know it's impossible that God lie, then what's the problem? Well, because, once again, we need to look back at what was done, not look ahead to get God to do something. He's already done everything He's ever going to do about your healing. God is never, ever going to do anything else about your healing or your salvation. Or your deliverance. It's already done. We look back where it was done. Set it in stone. Don't ever look back again. You know, if I have symptoms hit my body, I don't have to go back and think, well, am I really healed? Settled it back there. I wake up in the morning, you know, a crummy mood and questioning if I'm saved. No. Settled it back there. If you settle it back there and leave it back there, don't let the devil drag you into this arena of the future. Jesus settled your future in the past. Why not leave it there? Why not walk in everything that Jesus gave you today? Don't settle for someday off in the future. Oh, someday God's going to heal me. Someday God's going to bless me. Someday God's going to get me out of this mess I'm in. Quit looking to someday. Turn around, look behind you. 2,000 years back, He did it. And start praising Him for it. Start thanking Him for it. Because that's when it happens. Praise God. That's all I got for you. Thank you for purchasing teachings from Life Healing Ministries. We would like to also invite you to visit our website at www.lifehealingministries.org. And if this teaching has been a blessing to you, we would like to ask you to be a financial partner with Life Healing Ministries to help us to work together to take the gospel all over the world. You can reach us at area code 573-690-4367 anytime that you need prayer or counsel or
or any other thing you need to contact us for, we're there for you. God bless you.